The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey there, Buffalo Bills fans. Welcome back to Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast. My name is John Boccacino, being joined, of course, by my esteemed colleague and co-host, Jamie D'Amico, joining us. And Jamie, we're getting ready for week 12. The Buffalo Bills face another crucial game in the AFC. They are welcoming the Denver Broncos to New Era Field for a 1 o'clock showdown. Denver, of course, is a bit of a down streak here. They've lost four games in a row. The Bills are 7-3 coming off their most complete performance of the year, albeit against the hapless Dolphins. So as we sit here, let's kind of start with our thoughts on this game. The Bills should be relatively healthy heading into Sunday's showdown, only really missing Ty and Shecky as the real noticeable injury. Jerry Hughes is expected to play on Sunday. The Bills are expected to have most of their players back besides, I think, Saran Neal and Ty and Shecky are the two that are totally out. So for the most part, the Bills are pretty healthy, but that blow on the offensive line, how big do you think in Shecky's absence is going to be, especially against a Denver front that can really get after the quarterback?
It's going to be a problem, I think, because Cody Ford lining up against Von Miller could get ugly fast. Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of tight ends and backs chipping at Von Miller on their way out of the backfield, or perhaps they're just going to stay in and block. Maybe we'll see some more Lee Smith this week. But you can very much bet that Von Miller is going to be lining up over Cody Ford. And if he can't take care of Von Miller one-on-one, they're going to have to figure out some strategies there and also get the ball out of Josh Allen's hands quickly. Because the Broncos, while they haven't been performing well, they're not a bad team. They haven't figured out how to win, but they're not bad either. In fact, interesting stat here. Four of their losses have been by a touchdown or less, and three of those were 2 points.
Yeah, the Broncos have really, you know, been in there. And I think what people expected out of this team when the year started was Joe Flacco to kind of be, your prototypical game manager who wouldn't turn the ball over too much and wouldn't really excite the fan base, but would keep them in the games and allow their top 10 defense to wreak havoc. That really has been the case as far as the defensive side of things goes, but Flacco obviously is no longer the starting quarterback. Brandon Allen will be starting at under center for the Denver Broncos. We assume he will be the starter until Drew Locke potentially takes over, the Missouri standout from the draft. The Broncos have a quarterback problem for sure. But before we move on to their offense, I just want to real quick go back to the Von Miller point because, you know, it's interesting. Doing some research on this, Von Miller only has 5 sacks on the year, which is far below what you would expect him, you know, to have being such a tenacious pass rusher. He really is a game changer. And Cody Ford is going to have the challenge of his life on Sunday. I think you're right. They're going to keep in maybe a Lee Smith or a tight end, you know, someone. There's going to have to be some help to help chip him and prevent him from really causing all that kind of chaos that he can. Because, you know, if this Jamie, if Von Miller runs wild on Sunday, which is what they did a lot in building up that 20-0 lead over the Vikings last week, the Bills are going to be in for a long day. So I don't know. Do you think Cody Ford can be up for the challenge?
I'm not a big Cody Ford fan as he, the way he plays at right tackle. I think he has a future as a guard. Can he handle Von Miller? Can anybody handle Von Miller by themselves? I don't think that Cody Ford is going to be up to this. I think he's going to need a good dose of help. And, you know, fortunately, I think that the Bills are playing pretty well right now, and they're going to be able to figure that out, because there are ways of attacking an excellent pass rusher. You can run right at him. You can bootleg. You can move that pocket around so he has to change his angle. But the thing with Von Miller is he's so athletic and so fast. You know, you watch Cody Ford have a tendency to lose people that are shifting directions in front of his face, and he has a hard time changing direction. That's, you know, you're going to see a lot of that, because Von Miller floats around like he's a defensive back out there. He's got amazing feet on him. Is he up for it? Nope. No, he's not.
Well, I think that one of the ways the Bills, like you mentioned, can definitely counter the God-given talents that Von Miller has is to go about the run game. And really, the first down run game needs to be much better on Sunday than it was in South Beach. That was really one of the few areas where the offense, especially in the goal line, the offense did struggle on the first down runs, especially Devin Singletary. He had a great game. Of course, the two fumbles, which luckily the Bills recovered both times, the two fumbles are problematic. But when it comes to first down yardage on offense, you know, Singletary had 10 first down carries last week that produced just 19 total yards, less than 2 yards a carry. So if Josh Allen and the offense are facing 2nd and 8, 2nd and 7, 2nd and 9, that's going to allow Von Miller and the defense to really come after Buffalo's offensive line. So I think we'll see a lot of Devin Singletary, you know, motor on the draw, motor on runs outside. I'm not sure if Frank Gore, this is the game that he's really going to get a healthy dose. If anything, he was going to break out last week, but he only had 27 yards on 11 carries. So to me, Jamie, the best way to counter Von Miller and his talents is to go up the middle with the runs and try to, you know, let Devin Singletary just exploit with his speed what Denver gives them defensively, which I think Devin can definitely have a big game.
I think he can, of course. You know, Denver has a good defense, but, you know, they're not infallible. And I think you're right regarding seeing him over Frank Gore. You know, it seems like Frank Gore is beginning to maybe show some of the mileage, you know, or maybe this team just blocks much better for Devin Singletary because of the style that it requires. But, you know, the offensive line hasn't been getting a great push up the middle, and that's kind of what Gore's bread and butter has been throughout the last couple of years. So we'll see. And I think you're probably going to see Isaiah McKenzie get some more jet sweeps in there, because that sort of changes the direction of the linebackers and the off or defensive linemen along the way.
Well, another area where I think, and I know, Jamie, you and I have kind of differed on this, because I've been a buyer and a believer in Dawson Knox for a while. I think you're maybe coming around, but you really, you know, you had your hesitancy with the drops that he was plagued with earlier in the season. But I'm expecting Dawson Knox to have a big game, maybe not from the pass catching perception of it, but again, with the pass protection, because, you know, both he and Lee Smith are really quality blockers. You know, Lee Smith has more of a penalty problem than Dawson does, but I think those two are going to play a really, you know, big role in doing something to kind of, again, contain and slow down Von Miller. I also think that this is the game where Cole Beasley is going to continue his great season, his first season with the Bills. John Brown gets all the love, and of course, deservedly so, because he's off to one of the best seasons that a Buffalo wide receiver has ever had. When you're putting his name in the comparison with Andre Reed, you know just how much of an impact that Smoke Brown has had on this offense. But to me, Cole Beasley, you know, you're going to have chances to attack this Denver secondary with the quick passes, with the slants, the quick timing routes. And I see Cole Beasley hauling in, you know, 6 or 7 catches and moving the sticks for a couple of big first downs to really be a nice safety blanket for Josh Allen.
We know that we're going to see a lot of shifting between single high and two deep safety looks. And that's something that I think they're going to do a lot of, even post snap, to try to confuse Josh Allen. And if the safeties are moving around like that, you're 100% correct that Cole Beasley has the opportunity to have a good game there. Because what that means is that the safeties are going to be going the opposite direction of Cole Beasley. But regarding Dawson Knox, I do want to set the record straight on this. I actually really like the guy. I think that he has a tremendous amount of talent. I think that he's every bit as good as the two first round picks that play tight end, and including one, Noah Fant, who is a member of the Broncos. I think, as I've said before, I think the game is moving a little fast for him and he's sort of losing his concentration along the way. But the tenacity that he plays with, especially blocking, the guy has an attitude and he doesn't quit until sometimes a few seconds after the whistle. I like the guy. I think he's incredibly athletic and I think he's got a good future. He just has to figure it out when it comes to, you know, looking the ball in. And yeah, I do joke about his drops, but, you know, I'm going to keep doing that until he stops doing it.
Well, and it's a major problem, Jamie. You're right. I wasn't trying to undermine, you know, Dawson's contributions, but I mean, it is true. You need to, you know, you can be a great pass catcher, but the Bills, I think, drafted Dawson Knox more for his pass catching abilities than his pass blocking abilities. But I was pointing out the fact that I think he is a valuable weapon in the pass protection game, and the Bills are going to need that because, you know, they're, again, pressure against both quarterbacks is going to be tantamount to key for victory on Sunday, because I think the Bills will blitz Brandon Allen quite a bit, and I expect the Broncos to come after, you know, Josh Allen. And as great as John Brown has been this year, Chris Harris is a whole different matchup level compared to what he's faced for most of this year. So I'll be really curious to see if John Brown can gain separation in man coverage against Chris Harris, because if he does, I see a lot of big things happening underneath as well with Cole Beasley for the Buffalo Bills here, and the tight end's able to have a big game. But it's going to be tough. The Denver Broncos clearly are a top 10 defense, even though they're 3-7 record. Wouldn't strike too much fear into the hopes of Bills fans. Their defense can really, you know, the Broncos can really get after an opponent. And if the Bills, you know, don't get the pass protection that they need to, this could be a long day for Josh Allen, which brings us, of course, to Josh Allen, who is coming off his most complete game as a pro. He won the AFC Offensive Player of the Week for the second time in his career. Bills fans are looking to see Josh Allen build upon that success. And again, this is going to be a really good test for the second-year quarterback. What if you're Brian Daboll, Jamie? What kind of game plan are you dialing up for Josh Allen?
I'm having him get the ball out of his hands quickly. You were mentioning Cole Beasley with the slants. I'm going to throw in a couple of gadget plays too, because I want the Broncos to be in their heads and perhaps looking the other direction or moving the wrong direction when a play is going one way or the other. That's why I think you're going to see some Isaiah McKenzie's jet sweeps. And I think that we're going to try to get Josh Allen to throw the ball quickly, because, you know, he does get spooked when there's a lot of blitzing going on. And you can bet that Vic Fangio is going to be sending the house after him, because we've seen the success in the past when Josh Allen doesn't know who's going to be blitzing. You know, he gets confused. He bails out of the pocket early, and he's not the best thrower on the run, even though he's incredibly athletic. So quick three-step drops, get the ball out of his hands, slants. Maybe we'll even see a couple of screen passes this week. Huh. Wouldn't that be interesting?
What a radical concept, Jamie. The Bills do have some, you know, valuable weapons in the screen game, like you said, in Isaiah McKenzie and, of course, in Devin Singletary. I'll be curious to see. This is Josh Allen's third matchup against a top 10 defense this year. Of course, the first two, he did not have good performances. The Patriots game was a terrible, awful, no good performance for Josh Allen. The Eagles game, he played all right for a bit until the second half, when he really seemed to be lost out there on the field against a pretty capable defense. So we'll see what Josh can do against Vic Fangio's defense on Sunday.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, "Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog," she's like knocking on the door going, "Everything okay in there?" "Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog."
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Of course, the Bills are going to have a lot to say with this on their defense against Brandon Allen, who is, I think, playing over his head. I think he's due for a, you know, the Vikings exposed him, I think, in the second half of their win last week, 27-23. I think the Bills pass rush can really get after Brandon Allen. And that's going to be key because Buffalo is coming off a game where they had seven sacks. Eight different players had at least half a sack last week of Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I think a big reason for that was the use of Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano as blitzers. Do you see that trend continuing on Sunday, Jamie, where, you know, against this Broncos offense that really likes to air it out to Cortland Sutton, you know, the Broncos can try to take to the air for this one. How much do you think Leslie Frazier is going to rely on extra blitzers and pressure?
I think that they're going to be sending blitzers through the rest of the season. You know, the first half, they were just sending the four defensive linemen after the quarterback, rarely ever blitzing. And they were doing some great things in coverage, but I think they learned that they weren't getting it done. Quarterbacks were having way too long to just stand in the pocket and wait for the receivers to come open. As good as the Bills' defensive backs are, that's just not a recipe for success. So I think the rest of the year, you're going to see the blitzing up the middle and coming off the edge with the likes of Taron Johnson and others. You know, Philip Lindsay, while he hasn't had a spectacular season, I think they have one of the best 1-2 punches in the NFL, frankly. And I think that this is the type of player who's going to give the Bills a run for their money on the ground here.
Well, when the Bills do happen to bring that double A gap blitz, whether it's with Milano or Tremaine Edmonds, they are going to have to be really careful of, yeah, Philip Lindsay or Royce Freeman, you know, slipping out of the backfield. These two are, on paper, they're more talented than they've performed. I think Lindsay, you know, is averaging only 3.5 targets and 13 carries a game, but his rushing performances have not, you know, been as well, I think, as people have expected him to be, whereas Royce Freeman, they're both second year back, so I think can do some damage for the Broncos on Sunday. So that's where it's going to be careful for Leslie Frazier to watch out just how much he brings the blitzes with the extra linebackers versus dropping them back and seeing if they can force an interception or two by putting a confusing look at Brandon Allen, who, again, being as inexperienced as he is really, I think the pressure is on Buffalo to just get after him with different looks that he hasn't seen before, because when he's faced pressure, like a lot of quarterbacks, he has not done well.
And, you know, it makes a lot of sense to do it that way, not only because you can try to confuse him and put pressure on him, but by bringing more people up to the line of scrimmage, you're filling in some of the run gaps also. So this seems like the type of game where you're going to see the box stacked with eight players, and that, you know, while they may drop into coverage, it's a good starting point.
Now, we talked about this last week, Jamie, here on Believe, talking about the matchup of two of the league's best wide receivers in John Brown for the Bills and Courtland Sutton for the Broncos. We know that Courtland Sutton has been a revolution this year so far. He's been a great, tremendous story for the Broncos. 49 catches, 805 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Brandon Allen seems to love finding his target out there. 17 times he's directed passes towards Sutton's way in his last two games with 10 catches for a 169 and 1 touchdown. So clearly, as the Broncos go with the pass game, so goes Courtland Sutton. Hopefully, Leslie Frazier is able to keep Trey White on Sutton, because if Levi Wallace draws this matchup for any number of snaps, it just does not look good for Buffalo's defense. How excited are you to see Trey White and Courtland Sutton go at it?
It should be good because, you know, he's the second leading receiver in the AFC behind John Brown, but he's done it with far worse quarterback play in Brandon Allen. And I got to tell you, he's one of those players that kind of upsets me when you look at how the Bills a few years ago traded up in the draft to get Zay Jones, and then Courtland Sutton was taken 3 picks after that. That one stings a bit. But this guy's a legitimate receiver, and they say they break out in year 3. That's exactly what he's doing here. Or is it year 4?
For wide receivers, I think year 3 is commonly the breakout year. And yeah, you would say Sutton is definitely having, you know, his way out there. He's coming off a 5-catch, 113-yard effort against the Minnesota Vikings. And I think that, you know, Trey White's going to have his hands full trying to slow down, you know, Sutton and making sure that he doesn't wreak havoc over the deep balls that Brandon Allen might try to throw his way. Of course, Sutton is a taller threat, being 6'5". He's got some good attack points at going up for vertical passes to try to really, you know, be a game changer downfield. So we'll see what Trey White comes up with. But another key cog in this Broncos offense is Noah Fant. And you mentioned him earlier as being one of the rookie tight ends. Noah Fant decidedly had a pretty slow start to his Broncos career. He really struggled to get some rapport going with Joe Flacco, but it seems like with Brandon Allen under center, Fant is picking up his production. He had 4 catches for 60 yards last week against the Vikings. That to me, Jamie, is a matchup where if I'm the Broncos, I know the Bills do very well against tight ends historically this year, but this could be a different matchup.
It could be. And I think what you're going to see the Broncos try to do is try to isolate him on Lorenzo Alexander, who does not excel going backwards. He's definitely, the Lorax is definitely at his best when he's playing at the line of scrimmage. So if they can get a matchup on either him or Jordan Poyer, who gives up a lot of size in that matchup, I think that you're going to see the Broncos really try to feed him a bit in this game. The guy is an excellent athlete. And, you know, we saw that coming out of Iowa with all that tape, you know, paying attention to, you know, what are the Bills going to do in the first round? Who are they going to pick? And, you know, tight end was a very popular position that Bills fans were looking at. And I got to tell you, I was really impressed by this guy. He's got a great future in the NFL, and I think if the Bills can try to keep Matt Milano or Tremaine Edmonds on him when they're playing man-to-man defense, I think that you're going to see some pretty good results there. But like I said, if the Broncos offense can engineer mismatches, you're going to see a lot of balls go his way.
Yeah, no, I definitely think he could be a matchup nightmare. But again, that's why it's important for the pass rush to really get after it. And I'm so happy that Jerry Hughes seems to be much closer to 100% this week with the groin injury than he was last week in South Beach. So thankfully, the Bills, it seems like, will have their full complement of pass rushers to get after the rookie Brandon Allen, who, you know, can be definitely vulnerable to some good blitz schemes from Leslie Frazier's defense. So Buffalo and Denver squaring off Sunday at New Era Field. Every game is important this time of year, especially in the AFC, as Buffalo tries to get their 6th conference win. The schedule really ramps up in toughness, you know, moving forward. We have Thanksgiving with the Cowboys and the Ravens, of course, looming up. But this really is another one of those must-win games for the Bills. Jamie, how do you see the score playing out for this one on Sunday?
There's no margin for error for the Bills the rest of the way. This is a team that they should be beating, and I think that McDermott's going to have them up for this game. And the Broncos, they struggle on the road. At home, they give up 60% of their passes for completions. Their completion percentage given up on the road, 70%. They're a good team with a questionable quarterback that hasn't learned how to win yet and certainly can't do it on the road. So the Bills are going to win this one 20-10.
I like the defensive confidence holding the Broncos to 10 points. I agree. I think this is definitely a must-win game for the Bills. I think they will come out and get a big win. The Broncos' offensive line is really banged up. There could be as many as four starters missing in action on Sunday. I expect the Bills' offense to continue their momentum from last week. I expect a healthy dose of Devin Singletary both on the ground and maybe some nice screen passes. I think that John Brown and Cole Beasley will really have solid receiving performances, each getting at least six receptions on the day. I see the Bills defense feasting on the Broncos with their offensive line being depleted. Von Miller is going to do what Von Miller is going to do. I see him having a sack and a half, maybe two against Cody Ford, but it's not going to be enough to get the Broncos the win on Sunday. I will say Buffalo picks up a win here 27-13 to get to 8-3 on the year. And more importantly, get their sixth AFC win, which of course will be huge for tie-breaking scenarios moving forward. Jamie, it's been fun wrapping up the Bills here, getting ready for your Week 12 contest against Denver at the stadium, a 1 o'clock kickoff. We will be back next week. Give our fans a little programming note. We're only going to be on once next week for the Believe podcast. We will drop a preview of the Dallas Cowboys Thanksgiving clash early in the week. And then, Jamie, I think we should take some time off to be with our loved ones and enjoy the holiday.
Oh, your loved ones want to spend time with you? Huh.
You know, I bribe them in wine and in great baked goods. So I think that really helps to make them want to take me off their
hands. Mine don't want to see me at all. They said, hey, you're married now. Why don't you go see your wife's family?
I love the self-deprecating humor we bring here on Bill Leave, but you know, hopefully the Bills get a big win. We have a lot to be thankful for getting ready for the Week 13 matchup with the Cowboys. You can come back here to Bill Leave, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast, to get ready for that game, of course, with Jamie D'Amico and myself, John Boccacino. For now, we're going to sign off. Please go follow us on social media at Buff Rumblings. You can give Jamie all the credit in the world on his Twitter account by following him at the Jamie D'Amico. And of course, I am at John Boccacino. We welcome all your feedback on our podcast. And thank you for stopping by here on Believe, a Buffalo Bills fan podcast.